G'day, welcome to our Easter 2017 series. Today we start by looking back into Luke chapter 9. Reading verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The commentary I'm using here today and tomorrow is taken from John Darby's Synopsis of the New Testament, originally published in the 19th century. From Luke chapter 9, verse 46, the Gospel gives us the different features of selfishness and of the flesh that are in contrast with the grace and devotedness manifested in Christ, and that tend to prevent the believer from walking in his steps. Verses 46 to 48, 49, 50, 51 to 56 respectively present examples of this. These three passages point out, each in succession, a more subtle selfishness less easily detected by man. Gross personal selfishness, corporate selfishness, and the selfishness that clothes itself with the appearance of zeal for the Lord, but which is not likeness to him. From 57 to 62, the contrast between the elusive will of man and the efficacious call of grace, the discovery of the repugnance of the flesh when there is a true call, and the absolute renunciation of all things in order to obey it, are set before us by the Spirit of God. Observe that when the will of man acts, he does not feel the difficulties, but he is not qualified for the work. When there is a true call, the hindrances are felt. The Lord expresses to the disciples that which he did not conceal from himself, the truth of God, that all were in such wise against them that, if any one were not so, he was even thereby for them. So thoroughly did the presence of Christ test the heart. The other reason, given elsewhere, is not repeated here. The Spirit, in this connection, confines himself to the point of view we are considering. Thus rejected, the Lord judges no one. He does not avenge himself. He was come to save men's lives. That a Samaritan should repulse the Messiah was, to the disciples, worthy of destruction. Christ came to save the lives of men. He submits to the insult and goes elsewhere. There were some who wished to serve him here below. He had no home to which he could take them. Meanwhile, for this very reason, the preaching of the kingdom was the only thing to his unwearying love. The dead, to God, might bury the dead. He who was called, who was alive, must be occupied with one thing, with the kingdom to bear testimony to it, and that, without looking back, the urgency of the matter lifting him above all other thoughts. He who had put his hand to the plough must not look back. The kingdom, in presence of the enmity, the ruin of man, of all that opposed it, required the soul to be wholly absorbed in its interests by the power of God. The work of God, in the presence of Christ's rejection, demanded entire consecration. Thanks for joining us on Partakers. Come back every day to www.partakers.co.uk, where there is something uploaded to help you as a Christian disciple in the 21st century.